Well, thank you very much. It's an exciting day for me to be able to come to the summit and share my stories about what's been happening with E15. I'm Rusty Wallace. I retired in 2005 driving a Miller Lite stock car, number two, from my friend and partner, Roger Penske. Now I work for ESPN and ABC as a racing analyst covering the NASCAR races. But I'm also a team owner. I've got a couple race teams, and this year I'm going to have three race teams. My son Steven's going to be in this year's 2011 Daytona 500, so I'm really excited about that. You know, we've been talking about ethanol a long time. I've been hearing about it for a long time. I helped design the Iowa Speedway. I spent a lot of time in the state of Iowa, and I can tell you I'm very, very excited that finally we're going to be racing on ethanol. It made all the sense in the world. In 2006, I called the Indianapolis 500. 2007, I called the Indy 500 on ABC and kept watching ethanol getting involved in that series. And I got to tell you, when I watched the drop, when they dropped the flag at Indy a couple years ago with ethanol, 100% ethanol, and those cars come roaring past us at 240 miles an hour, I thought to myself, self, that's some serious horsepower. And it's being fed by ethanol. And that makes a lot of sense. Well, since then, you've heard that now ethanol is going to be involved in NASCAR with an E15 blend, starting off with this year's Daytona 500. Well, not only will the NASCAR Sprint Cup cars be running the E15 blend, but every series in NASCAR will be running it, the Truck Series, the Nationwide Series, and the Cup Series. I'm going to share a little bit of my stories about what I've experienced here in the last 2 or 3 months with ethanol. Ethanol, I will tell you, first of all, let me back up a bit. When we hit Daytona, get ready, because if you heard of ethanol before, you're going to hear so much about ethanol. It's going to be water cooler talk around the industry now, because NASCAR is the number one source of motorsports in the entire world. And when NASCAR runs ethanol, it's going to be on everybody's radar. They're going to know about it. You're going to hear about it. So I think it's going to be a less of a sell. It's going to be easier of a sell. NASCAR is going to be fantastic. These are car people with car engines who make a lot of horsepower, and ethanol is going to be under the hood, and that's going to make a lot of sense. Now, one thing people have always mentioned about, how's it going to run in the car? What's going to happen? I got to tell you, there's been more testing done with E15 on the racetrack and off the racetrack and in dynos than ever before in NASCAR. It's been one of the top things that we've been working on. We've been running in the cars. We've been running on the dynos. We've been running everywhere. In fact, my drivers, as we speak, Stephen Wallace, my son, and Michael Lynette, my new driver out of Iowa, out of Des Moines right here, driving the number 62 Pilot Travel Center car next year. They're in Orlando, Florida right now. As we speak, and they're in Orlando, they've been here for 2 days testing on E15. They've been making hundreds and hundreds of laps down there. They called me before I came up here this afternoon and said, boy, the test is going great. We're learning a lot of things. The motor's humming like a kitten. Everything's going fantastic. They just left Daytona. They've been at Daytona for 3 days, running in speeds excess of 202 miles an hour at Daytona International Speedway. So they have took these engines, just wrung them out, tested, and we have learned a lot about ethanol. You know, I got to commend NASCAR about how they jumped on there and said, you know what, now's the time to work with ethanol. Now's the time to pay more attention to the environment. Now's the time to make it happen. When you talk to Brian French, you talk to Mike Helton, you talk all the people with the sport, the movers and shakers that make it happen, they understand that this particular fuel is really right for what we do. And this is something that we're really proud to talk about, represent, and I call move the needle and put it in people's attention. They're going to learn more about it. You know, they started testing a long time ago, and one of the things they found out about the ethanol was this. Right off the bat, we saw more horsepower. Another thing we saw, which was pretty surprising, we hear all the time about ethanol, you don't get as good as a mile per gallon. We took the E15 blend and put it on our dynos. We put it on our fuel flow meters. We put it on everything. We saw virtually no change at all from what we're currently running for racing fuel, the Sonoco racing fuel. The E15 blend of ethanol was very, very minimal of a change, and that's something that people just can't get themselves around. They think that as soon as you put ethanol in with gasoline, you just have less mile per gallon. That's not true. That's not true at all. We proved that. All they did was take the E15 and put it in the current race engine. These engines make about 900 horsepower. They turn about 10,000 RPMs. they sit under the hood of those cars purring for 4 hours, just screaming their brains out. They're turning so many RPMs, they're trying to blow the hood off the car. It's just an amazing amount of horsepower under the hood that runs wide open, continuous for 500 miles. And what we found out, we didn't have to do anything to the engine. Zero, nothing. We just put the fuel in it, and we made more horsepower. We got the same miles per gallon, and it passed all the tests. It turned out really good. We were talking about speeds. Went to Daytona, and these cars were running about 198 miles per hour. They saw speeds in excess of 202 miles an hour going in the corners. So what that meant was we made more horsepower with the same miles per gallon. And if you're driving your street car, and you know you got a lot of extra power under the hood, you don't have to push the gas as hard. And if you don't push the gas as hard, you're not using as much fuel. So there's a lot of cool things that can happen. You know, you watch Indianapolis, those guys running Indianapolis, 235 miles an hour in the straightaways. The power that ethanol puts out has never been a question. It never has. And now one thing we're doing is just verifying it. And so when we get a question from the general public, or we get a question from reporters that really don't understand ethanol, we got a lot of stuff to back it up. There's no doubt about that. It burns a lot cleaner. We really like that, too. The smell of those old fossil fuels, a lot of it's gone. We don't smell much of that stuff at all right now. Another thing that people probably don't realize about E15, there's been more science put into E15 than any other blend of fuel in the country. There's been so much science, so much work, so much testing, and so much backup technology through E15, it's unbelievable. And I got to tell you, if NASCAR is going to get out there and we're going to run E15 and we're going to talk about it, we got to know everything about it. And we have just did everything for testing. You hear me talking a lot about testing. Trust me, folks, we have tested. We don't find anything bad about ethanol right now. You know, one frustrating thing for me is that when we do all our testing, we have run the blend of ethanol up to 30% in our NASCAR engines. It keeps making more power to a point the higher we go. And right about 30% is where we start seeing the difference in miles per gallon. So the frustrating thing for me is to sit back here as a fellow who lives in the USA and a fellow goes to all the racetracks and know that we could bring that percentage all the way up to 30% before we see a measurable miles per gallon change, and we don't do that. We're taking these baby steps. And I'm so thankful we got to E15. But I know, as a driver, and what I see in our engine dynos and all our technical engineers are working on, to know that these cars can go up to 30% before we see much of a change, it's frustrating to know that we don't have that. I'm a little greedy when it comes to that, as you can tell. And I know it's out there. A lot of politics. We all realize that. Every single car that's going to hit around the Iowa Speedway, a track that I helped design along with our great friends, is going to be running on ethanol. Right in the middle of the United States, Iowa Speedway is one of the coolest tracks in the country. We right now have two Nationwide Series races, the NASCAR Nationwide Series races. We have the IndyCar races. We got the Truck Series. We got a host of other events. And when they drop that flag in the 2011 series at Iowa Speedway, everything's going to be running on a blend of ethanol, which is a really good feel for me as a track designer and somebody who really promotes ethanol. You know, I want to really give a shout-out to my friends at Growth Energy. These guys have really worked their brains out with NASCAR, putting this program together to get E15 on the racetrack and representing a lot of other companies out there to get E15 out there. And I'm telling you, that video was a great video just shot. But the enthusiasm that's going to happen when we get to the Daytona 500, when Speed Weeks kicks off live on television, on every single TV network around the country talking about ethanol, it's going to be amazing. And without Growth Energy, this wouldn't happen. It just flat wouldn't happen. It had been a lot of talk about why we haven't done this. But this group that got together, they sat down, negotiated, they made it happen. And we are definitely going to be on everybody's radar when we get to the Daytona 500 this year. I can tell you that. And for that, I think Growth Energy deserves a round of applause. Thank you. And you know, one thing this sends out is this. When we start the year, 43 drivers make the starting field for every single race. There'll be 50 or 60 drivers try to make the starting field, and only 43 make it. So what happens is 43 of the world's best drivers in the entire world will be in some of the biggest races in the year. And for our biggest race, our Super Bowl is our very first race. It's not our last race. Our Super Bowl is the Daytona 500. 43 of the world's best drivers will start that race. and all 43 will be on E15. And on my mind, if it's good enough for some of the world's best drivers out there, it's sure good enough for everybody on the street. So that's going to be a great testimonial. All the cars are going to have the American Ethanol logo around the gas cap, a big area. Every time there's an area where the car is being refueled, if you got a white car, it's going to have a green emblem all around it. If you got a red car, it's a green emblem. NASCAR has mandated that every single nationwide car, every single Sprint Cup car, or every single source or whatever type of car that runs a NASCAR, it's mandated that they have to have the decal on the car showing that that car is running on American-made ethanol. So you'll see that would be something different. If you're a real motorhead like I am and you go to all the NASCAR races, you'll say, why do all these cars have a big green blob on the left rear quarter panel? Because that's the American Ethanol logo, and it'll be out there all the time. You know, we've all got an agenda. Whether my agenda is for my son to do good or your agenda is for your company to do good. And we all have got an agenda to make things happen. There's a lot of people that love ethanol. There's some people that question ethanol. There's a lot of things that are out there. But I can tell you what, the benefits that we saw are really good right now. I haven't seen anything negative like I see with fossil fuels. There's a lot of negative stuff about pure gasoline and regular diesel fuel and stuff like that. But for ethanol, we haven't seen it yet. And I tell you, it in our industry, at this time, it's the right thing to do. And I'm really proud that NASCAR is doing it. And I think you guys are going to be proud that we do this also. It's great to know that in the future, from what I'm hearing from all the ethanol producers and what they can make out there, in the near future, I think we got the capability now that can completely, 100%, get rid of regular gasoline and be able to run these cars on ethanol. The production capability is there. It can happen. There's no doubt about that. And it finally reduced our dependence on foreign oil, something just aggravates everybody. You know, it's like I got back to telling you about, I know these cars can run on 30% and get the same miles per gallon, but we don't do it. You know, the same thing with foreign oil. We got enough capability in the near future to run on ethanol. You know, it was great to hear that the other day when I was talking to the folks when I got in town that finally the government approved E15 to be used in cars back to 2001. That's a big step. And I hope that step right there is just something that's going to continue to happen and we can get that blend higher and higher and higher because everybody deserves it. I mean, if you cut through all the baloney and all the politics and all the stuff and you just put the stuff in your car and mash the gas, you'll feel it's the right thing to do. We can talk and talk and talk about why it's not right or why this is right or why that's wrong. But as a racer and a guy that's just pure 100% in horsepower, I know it's the right thing to do. Thank you very much for listening to my little speech. And right now, I'd like to open up some questions and answers. We can talk about racing. We can talk about the new surfaces in Daytona. We can talk about ethanol. We can talk about anything. Any questions? Quite a quiet crowd here. All right. Well, thank you very much, everybody. One over here?
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember Warren Pitcher from West Des Moines. I remember a Sunoco station in West Des Moines that had, before ethanol, a blender pump where I could select from probably five different octane ratings. It had two hoses coming down to the nozzle. And like I say, at one time, everybody at my house had a car but our dog, and she wanted one. But anyway, I had five cars, various from V8 engines to a little four-banger. And by trial and error with that blend pump, you could figure out what seemed to run best in your vehicle. Now, you've indicated that you've already taken it up to 30%. Don't you agree that if we had blender pumps, just by trial and error, the consumer would find what percentage for his particular vehicle is the best, as opposed to having one or two choices?
Absolutely. I 100% agree. If they had a choice, that could happen. And that's our biggest problem. One of our biggest problems, we don't have enough blender pumps out there. We just need more distribution, and everybody in the room knows that. But until we get that, you know, there's still a lot to learn. Now, I will tell you, when I was a young guy growing up and I was 16 years old, I wanted all the horsepower I could get. And if I had that blender pump back then, baby, I'd have that sucker on wide open. I'd have her over to 100% ethanol. I know my old hot rod would fly around up and down the street then. But they didn't have it, just like what you said. They found out which one made their car run the best and the whole thing. And a blender pump is a great idea, you know, and I just hope it happens. And I hope we get to distribution. It takes a lot of money to put these pumps out there. I think just the pumps alone are $12,000 to $18,000 a piece. And I hope that finally the the gas stations around the country will start putting these pumps in there. But I'm telling you, this is the start. 2011 is going to be a year that you went, wow, I finally heard ethanol the way I want to hear about it. And I believe NASCAR is going to be the people that finally get the story out there. Yes, sir.
Rusty, we hear a lot of jokes about going left all the time. Why do we just go left?
Why don't we just go left instead of left and right, right? There's a lot of road courses out there. And one of the reasons the road courses aren't as popular as the oval tracks is because you can't see the whole course. You see them come by. You see them disappear in the hillside. You see them wrap around. You only see parts of the course, and here comes the car back. On an oval track, you can sit there as a spectator and look and see the whole entire track. If you go to Iowa Speedway, I'll guarantee you can see every spot on that racetrack, and that creates a really, really exciting environment. And I'll tell you, the road courses are fantastic. We love them. We do have a road course inside the Iowa Speedway, but on our course, you can see the whole road course. But some of the big courses, you know, like Watkins Glen, New York, you don't see the whole course. Out in Sears Point, California, at the Infineon Speedway, you don't see the whole course. So basically all the big, big courses, you can't see the whole course. And because of that, you don't get the popularity and the attendance like you do at the Iowa Speedway, the Daytona 500, and some of the big oval tracks, Kansas City, stuff like that, because you just can't see the whole race.
Rusty, thanks for your comments here. I'm particularly interested about the performance, the gas mileage comments that you just had about the race cars. And we heard earlier from Speaker Newt Gingrich about the fact that maybe some things need to change in Detroit in terms of how we manufacture the cars and what we do to make them ethanol, more ethanol friendly. So any big picture thoughts in terms of what Detroit might need to do in order to improve on the gas performance, the E15 performance, when we go to go gas up at the pump?
Well, I will tell you, that for me to comment on that's a little bit out of my wheelhouse. I can keep it real simple by saying, you know, I know up to 30% really works good and it works well. I know that for a fact. To tell you what I think GM should do about it, that's, you know, that's for a scientist to do. And I'd be telling you something I'd probably be scolding on if I said it wrong.
Rusty, this is Brian Evers from West Central Iowa. You mentioned all the testing that's gone on with E15 and up to E30. Do you think if things work out the way everybody expects them to, that there's any opportunity to move to a higher blend such as E85?
I think there is a lot of opportunity to do that. And remember, NASCAR racing is really not governed by a 10% blend or a 15%. They can run 100% if they want. But I think for us just to put 100% blend in a tank right now where the distribution's not there, wouldn't be served real well. I think the E15 blend is a great start. It's something that's really people are going to really understand. But if NASCAR wanted to, they could just go 100% ethanol. But you got to remember, they have a nice program put together with Sunoco right now. They have a contract with Sunoco. And there was a lot of negotiation to be able to get E15 and Sunoco together to make this whole program work out. But NASCAR is not governed by anybody. They can do what they want. All right, one more here.
Rusty, Dave Hoffman, Lamar's. Can you tell us a little bit about your son, what he drives, and what do you feel his prospects are?
Well, thank you very much. That's really important to me. And this year, I'm really excited. I am. I mean, Steven has been running the Nationwide Series for about 3 years right now. He's been a top 10 driver every single year, hasn't won yet, got close many, many times. And this year, we've probably got more support by our sponsor, 5-Hour Energy, and a new sponsor we just signed, Aspen Dental, and the other sponsor we just signed with Michael Lynette, Pilot Travel Centers and Flying J. So we've got a lot of cool things going for this year. Michael Lynette is 23 years old. He's from Iowa. Steven's 23 years old. They're best of friends. They're testing together. They're learning a lot. So I've got a lot of optimistic thoughts that this could be the very best year ever for Steven. And a week ago, NASCAR announced that whatever series you sign up for at the beginning of the year, if you're a Sprint Cup driver and you say, I'm on a Sprint Cup license, you get Sprint Cup points. And if you're a Nationwide driver, you get Nationwide points. And if you're a truck driver, you get truck points. It's never been that way. Before, if you were a driver, you could get points in all three series, which started a lot of controversy because people used to say, hey, that Sprint Cup guys, the big guys, are coming down a league lower and reaping all the money, stealing all the victories and doing that. It's not fair. Well, this year, NASCAR changed the rules. So now it's illegal for a Cup guy to get points in all the series. So what that means is that my kid, Steven, Michael Lynette, and guys like that, we're going for the championship. We got a great opportunity to win this year, and we're pumped up about it. So that was my plan going in. 1 month ago, I got a phone call from my friend Roger Penske that said, hey, Sam Hornish Jr., who's won three Indianapolis 500s, we can't find sponsorship for him, so we're going to shut the team down. And, Rusty, since you helped me build this team, you know, we were talking about what can we do with these points, and I told him, I said, I like to run Steven in the Daytona 500. Because any driver that was locked in the top 35 in point standings from last year is guaranteed a starting spot in every single race, the first five races of the 2011 season. So when it was all said and done, I talked to Roger. I got the number 77 Sam Hornish points. I bought them, and that guarantees my son in the Daytona 500, something I'm really excited about. And that's like your kid sitting there playing college football, and all of a sudden he gets a phone call the next day and says, hey, guess what? You did pretty good today, kid. How about tomorrow we put you in the Super Bowl? And that's what happened to my son. We just finished a three-day test in Daytona. It went fantastic. He ran fast. He gained a lot of respect. So not only am I enthusiastic about this year's Nationwide Series, but I'm really enthusiastic about the biggest race of the year, the Daytona 500, with him. So as you can tell, I'm excited about it. I'm pumped up about it. And when I leave you here tonight, I'm going straight back to the race shops in North Carolina to see how that testing's going. Folks, thanks a lot for everything. And we're going to have a great 2011. You're going to hear a lot about E15. Thank you.